The NFL draft sure provided a bunch of chat these past 4 days. We keep it going. Our guest is a returning champ, college football draft analyst, part of the Believe Network and the Ruffino and Joe show. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at Joe DeLeon. Like me, always repping the 201. Joe D, great having you back. Have you done your post-draft breathing exercises yet?
I can't just yet, just because this week, and actually probably just this week, I've got my reactionary of who did the best, who had the best classes over the next few days. But, man, this Saturday, I'm looking forward to the tee time that I'm setting up early to get that breath in.
That's great. You know, beyond the draft, you posted something about the University of Miami. I'm a huge crystal ball guy, and before I moved here in the 80s, I always loved the U. Been a bit of a frustrating run here, but for folks who aren't aware, I mean, they've got the Washington State transfer Cam Ward at quarterback, the Oregon State transfer Damian Martinez running it. So what you were talking about, you think this could potentially be a really solid offense?
I really do, and I think that this offense was already one of the better in the country and one of the best in the ACC, if not the best. Xavier Restrepo coming back, Colby George is a really talented player, and then Cam Ward, as the Pac-12 fans know, he is a gifted, gifted player if he gets in the right situation. Their offensive line is loaded with high-level recruits. Samson Okunlola is a guy that I'm high on who is going to be stepping in. And then Francis Malanoa was a high-impact freshman for them this past year. Now that they add Damian Martinez, their run game was good last year. And I think it now goes from good to elite. I think that Damian Martinez is like this next coming of Steven Jackson, just this big body downhill bruiser that fits well with the identity that Mario Cristobal looks for offensively. So I think that that to me is the missing final piece that they needed for me to pick them as my favorite right now to win the ACC in 2024. And let it be known, ACC fans, I picked Florida State last year, so there might be a trend here on me getting those picks right.
He's on a roll. As a former long snapper at Rhode Island, you always have an eye on the FCS players. And I read it was like the first time in 15 years, none taken in the first two rounds. But there's great players in the NFL, Javon Hargrave. So who are a couple of guys from that level who were picked that maybe we should keep an ear out for?
Yeah, the one that I am the most excited about is Jalix Hunt, the edge rusher from Houston Christian, formerly a safety at Cornell, and they made the transition. He is very physically gifted. He might have the highest ceiling out of any of the pass rushers in his class just because he's so bendy, he's so explosive in short areas. He was one of those dudes that just found ways to win no matter what, even though he didn't really have the hand usage and technique and skill to be as, you know, even more productive. And I think that his situation that I'm the most excited about is the fact that Vic Fangio is going to be coaching him. We know that he has a history of getting good production out of pass rushers and rotational pass rushers. He's on a team where they're deep defensively, so he doesn't need to get rushed out there. And he's also on a team that has a lot of talent at other positions. So I think in the next couple of years, keep an eye on him. He could be one of those players that we're saying, wow, where did this guy come from and how did he become so productive? I kind of think of like John Franklin Myers is a good example where he was a day two pick, or I think he was an early day three pick, and he turned into a really important player for the Jets for a couple of seasons before injuries caught up to him. But I really, really love what Jalix Hunt can do for the Eagles.
Talking with Joe DeLeon, Believe Network, Ruffino and Joe show. For years, the question was almost sarcastic. Is Texas back? Turns out, well, they did return. You guys were talking about it. Of course, another former Pac-12 coach from USC in Washington, Steve Sarkisian. What about what he's done? I mean, the progress in three seasons has been kind of remarkable.
Yeah, I think that the biggest standout for me is the fact that they ended up producing 11 draft picks this past year. And it was the second most, I think, behind Michigan, which is really notable. And we talked about it on Ruffino and Joe yesterday because for the longest time under all these other coaches since Mack Brown, there was a good string of time where it would always be a headline, Texas didn't have a guy drafted, or they only had one guy drafted, and here we are, 11. We're not talking about they jumped to 5. They jumped to 11, and that to me is really remarkable that, one, they're recruiting guys that are that good. They're able to attract some of the best transfer portal talent, and then on top of this, they're developing guys. They're developing players into premier first-round talent again, and I think that that, to me, is the indicator that Sarkisian is righting the ship. I doubted him at times. I also wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I think that giving him the benefit of the doubt was the right thing because this is on a really, really good trajectory. I think at the very least they'll always be in that conversation every year of being able to compete for a national title. We just got to see if he can get that job done and win one.
Yeah, I read that you watched the Oregon spring game. And, you know, sometimes reputations are tough to shake. You know, you think during the Chip Kelly era, it was all about flash and speed. When Mario Cristobal came here, he specifically said he wanted to be more SEC powerful. Certainly Dan Lanning wants to keep that trend. So what did you see out there along those lines this past weekend?
Yeah, I had kind of been pointed out to me that they were rotating different offensive linemen with different groups, so they're kind of trying to figure out the cohesion there, which is going to take some time. But I at least was reminded that Ajani Cornelius and some of the other guys that were starters last year are just as good as we remember them to be. And I think that there's first-round talent on that offensive line. I think the one thing that popped the most to me was the defensive line talent. It's clear that they're too deep. They've got a lot of twitchy, explosive, physical guys in the interior and on the edge. I really think that Jordan Birch could come into his own this upcoming year. They have the mold of an SEC program, like you just talked about with Cristobal. He wanted to get there, didn't really accomplish that, but I think that Dan Lanning is absolutely accomplishing that going into his third season. That, to me, is the most important, though, is the physicality. Because they're going to need that to win games in the Big Ten. They're going to need that to beat Ohio State. I feel pretty good about Dan Lanning and what he's changing for the Oregon Ducks going into 2024.
Certainly the emergence of Bo Nix as a major NFL prospect the past 2 years, to me it's been like crazy because at Auburn it was a lot of criticism. So not only does he go 12th overall, but to a coach in Sean Payton who really wanted him. I know, I think some of the Drew Brees comparisons are fair, you know, accurate. What do you think about this fit?
I think the fit, really, I don't want to go as far as say perfect because I think that is a little bit hyperbolic, but I think that the fit is really clean because the Drew Brees comparisons have been brought up. I think that is unjust to put on his shoulders and to compare him to that. But what we know Sean Payton likes in his offense is quick decision-making, timing. We know that sometimes he likes to stretch the field, but as we saw with Russell Wilson this past year, a guy like that can move, that can expand the pocket, that knows and is willing to be a quick triggered in the way that he gets the ball out, I think that that's going to fit well. He, to me, is one of the better candidates to have a good rookie season. Maybe not like an elite one, but like a good rookie season because he's one of the oldest prospects that we've talked about. He's one of the most mature. I feel pretty good about his situation. It's just a matter of if Payton can build that roster up around him. They didn't take any offensive or defensive linemen, which makes me feel a little bit weird. So it might be a few years before they really hit stride on what they can actually do.
So you're thinking it's premature to think that Bo will throw for literally 80,000 yards in the NFL. Couple final thoughts for Joe DeLeon of the Ruffino and Joe Show. Jaden Daniels. Now, I think of Tua, Bryce Young, the frame, it's not a deal breaker. It more draws my interest. I think he is just spectacular. I mean, LSU had a bad defense. He won 10 games. They scored a million points. They add Austin Eckler. We know Terry McLaurin is legit. And for the fans, hopefully it's a new day in D.C. How do you feel about the new regime and Jaden going to D.C.?
Yeah, right now I have Jaden Daniels as a guy who I put my money on to win Offensive Rookie of the Year because he is the most physically gifted of the classes we know. And even if things are a little bit slow to get going under Dan Quinn, as they're trying to figure out what their, you know, what their footing is in the conference and in the division, they're still going to be able to get balanced production out of Jaden, where he is going to run for a ton of yards. He's going to throw for a ton of yards. He's got really good receivers. You just mentioned Eckler, who is amongst a pretty strong running back room, and Brian Robinson's obviously in there as well. So I think that Jaden Daniels is going to be able to provide them a spark that they haven't had at the quarterback position for a very, very long time. They do, however, need to, in the next few years, make an aggressive investment to continue to build up their offensive line. I think that it's gotten better. It's slowly improving. But if Jaden Daniels isn't properly protected, it could turn out as badly as things did with RG3, who they did a horrible, horrible job of protecting. So I think that that's the main focus for me with Jaden Daniels and the Commanders.
And lastly, I mean, as an analyst, we hear a lot about the six quarterbacks, Joe Alt, the trio of receivers. But from your chair, who might be a guy, let's say, outside the top 15? You saw that pick and you were like, huh, I think that could blow big.
Yeah, the one big one for me was Brian Thomas Jr., the LSU wide receiver in the first round, goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we know that the receiving room for the Jaguars was good, but they're missing that little extra oomph. They're missing that little extra pop that they could have used over the top. And Brian Thomas Jr. was that extra pop in the LSU offense. He wasn't the premier guy, but he was still somebody that was relied heavily on in deep situations. And he doesn't have a super diverse route tree right now. He's a little bit raw, and he's still developing as a player. But, man, if he hits and if he comes together as a prospect and the potential gets there, he might end up being the best receiver in this class in the next 5 years. So that one, to me, I think is a great fit because you're pairing a talented receiver with a young quarterback that is just starting to hit his stride. I think that the timing, the situation, all of that is perfect.
By the way, how about LSU becoming wide receiver U these last half decade? Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Folks.
Yeah, unbelievable.
He's Joe DeLeon, part of the Ruffino and Joe Show. Check it out on Twitter. It's at Ruffino and Joe Show, part of the Believe Network. His Twitter handle at Joe DeLeon. Joe D., always great having you. Tremendous information. Much appreciated. Be well. And, of course, always look forward to talking again soon.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take it easy.